Hello, you're listening to Mark Langley's Horsemanship Podcast. I'm Jenny Barnes.
And I'm Mark Langley.
Okay, Nadja has a horse who she loses. She loses his thought. He's distracted by something in the distance. She'll ask for a change of thought. She'll get an ear or a movement. But as soon as she lets his mind go, he wanders right back to that distraction. It's as if she says that he's been holding onto it for the whole time. So he can do that for longer and longer periods, so she can ask for more complicated movements and he still goes back to the same thing. How can she get him back and stay with her?
This is an interesting one, and kind of going along line with all the answers that I kind of, questions that I answer, but responsibility. So I was it just falls off the back of the last question in a sense, where I was just talking about helicopter parenting, helicopter focusing. Okay, I see it a lot now. People are sort of, realize that if you know, and I've taught it, got to get a horse's focus. But what I'm very careful at teaching is you got to guide a horse's focus. You got to help them. And then it's about change of thought that is important, not just about having your horse's focus on you. So I'm not saying that you're helicopter focusing. It's just a subject that you might look into as well, that you might sort of address. You might do a little bit of it. You may not do it at all, but it's just more, this is for the broader audience. So helicopter focusing is focus on me. You're away, focus on me. And we're trying to interrupt our horses all the time, get their focus, and then we get annoyed when they gaze off. Okay, so I had a horse once some years ago at a young horse star clinic, and it would kind of get focused a lot, but then if the stars aligned and the horse knew you didn't have it quite together and you weren't paying attention, it would take leave and go. So if you had it on a lead and you were leading it out on a circle, if you kind of just sort of, did something or whatever, it would just go boom and pull the rope out of your hands and run off. So I had to sort of try and help the owner say, let it go. Let it find a clearer boundary. See, sometimes we're training our horses to not hit the boundaries, and that's where we're going wrong, and that's where sometimes focus work goes wrong. Though I just talked about getting your horse's thoughts. You have to get your horse's thoughts, and it has to be their responsibility to keep them on you. If you keep helicoptering those thoughts and saying, think back to me all the time, well, the horse may never find the boundaries, or the horse may never know what responsibility is all about. So in that respect, responsibility is so important. So responsibility could be like, there's something I put on a horse as a joke, and I've got a long rope, it's 6 meters, and it's a fairly thin rope, and I kind of say, I'm just going to put the magic rope on the horse, and people think, oh, what's that? And then I've had horses, I'll put the magic rope on and I'll put it on the ground and I'll just do a little joke and I'll bury the rope a little bit in the ground, and then I'll walk over there and the horse stands still and they go, wow, that must be a magic rope. It's not a magic rope, it's just that I did something completely different. That horse wasn't sure, so it went, holy cow, I better stay with the rope. It suddenly got responsibility, and that took its mind off what it was doing out there. I'm not saying the magic rope always works, it's just sometimes when it does it like that, it looks like a magic rope, but it's not magic at all. The only magic, there's no magic in it actually, to be honest. The only magic is, but really there's none. It's just, I distracted that horse, and it was something else that distracted it, and I gave the horse responsibility by standing back off the horse 6 meters and saying, well, what are you going to do now? And the horse goes, well, I don't know, there's a rope stuck to the ground that I've never seen before, I might just stand here. And the thoughts go off gazing, and the horse comes back to the rope. So, and that just kind of proved to me when I was doing that, and proved, I guess, to the people, that sometimes we take too much responsibility on our own shoulders and start to do everything for the horses, guiding their feet, guiding this, guiding that, and give them no responsibility at all. So where I'm getting at, Nadja, with your horses, you have to give it responsibility. It has to be able to think with you and not gaze all the time. Now, there are little lessons that I do for particularly gazy horses that have gazed forever, and I have to break into their thoughts. So one would be, I might get fairly big to make the horse go, what's that? And then I'll stop and go, just stay here. and I'll actually make the boundary of gazing away a little bigger so the horse is less likely to gaze away. And then I'll say, now just center here. And that gets the horse to center with us and be its responsibility. But I'm not going to keep nagging it every time it looks away. But when it gets a strong gaze, and then I'm just going to sort of let it until it stays with me. Now, that's what you may have already been trying to do. Another thing I do for strong gazes is I might get them to look in a new direction. So say, for instance, they're fixated this way. Then I get them to look. I might be standing over, say I'm on one side of the horse. The horse is gazing in a straight line. I'm standing beside one eye. So I'm standing on the near side of the horse, left side. Horse is gazing off into the distance. I might get it to look to the right and look somewhere else. So I'll just stay on that outside of the left eye and just put a little feel in there until the horse looks away from the gaze and looks somewhere else. When it looks somewhere else, I'll step back away from the horse. And you'll see a lot of horses come back through the gaze to you. And that's just teaching horses that they can break the gaze. So you're obviously at a stage that your horse can break the gaze, because when you interrupt it, it breaks the gaze. But when you do nothing again, it just zones out again. So you've obviously worked on that. But just for people who have horses that have never broken the gaze, there's different things that you can work on. But where I'd go with that particular, your particular horse, if you can already break the gaze, is give it responsibility. So something I'd do is I'd teach it to ground tie, like I said, on that long magic rope, is I just put a long rope on it and I just walk back and I put that rope, and when that rope's hanging plumb underneath its chin, it's to stand with it, and then I'd teach the horse to take steps with it, little tiny steps, you know. So I'd offer a pathway. If the horse gazes, I'd get fairly big and I'd say, reset, think to the pathway again, and the pathway's that rope. And I might just teach it to sort of stop for a second with the rope, take one step with the rope, stop with the rope, take half a step, just lean a little bit with the rope. So basically you could stand dead still and that horse just follows the feel of that rope. So because it's so subtle, and then the horse will start to follow a little bit. If it makes a mistake and it sort of gazes off and thinks, oh, well, this is not much energy or pressure, I'm just going to gaze off. Well, you kind of get big enough to get its thoughts and then put it back to the rope and say, now follow the rope. I guess what I'm trying to say in that is if you were walking a wide pathway, you could take your camera, and as long as the pathway was clear enough in front of you, you could walk along taking photos of the birds the whole way, okay, and be fine about that and quite comfortable on your pathway. But if I put you on a tightrope across the Grand Canyon, though the scenery might be pretty, I'll guarantee you're not going to pull your camera out. Okay, so you're just making a pathway that's more subtle for the horse to listen to, but if it falls off, it's a clearer fall for that horse, in a sense that I'm not trying to say you're scaring the life out of your horse, but what I'm trying to say is it's clearer when you reset the horse and then put it back on a little pathway of feel, and that's a really good lesson in responsibility. But somehow in your training, you've got to offer your horse more responsibility. So there's a consequence for gazing off, and that's generally it's going to make a mistake, and the boundaries, there's going to be more pressure on a boundary or something like that. Because horses live in a life of action and consequence, and then they start, and the horses that, you know, when they're learning, when they're young, they learn body language and they learn the subtleties of body language. But some of that is through action and consequence now. And I don't like consequence in my version of training is not reprimanding our horses. It's not telling them that they're bad. It's just showing them that the boundaries are clear, okay? And then once they sort of understand that there's a boundary there, then they take it in on themselves to be more responsible and more aware in what we're doing, and we don't have to helicopter focus. So if you can understand all that and apply that in your training, you might find your mare will change a lot. The other thing is it's not her responsibility to gaze off all the time. She's a binocular horse, and that's why she needs to walk the tightrope across the Grand Canyon, is because doing that, you can't use your long vision, you've got to use your short vision, and you've got to use your feel and everything that's right there. So do little subtle things with your horse that you wanted to listen to, and give her more responsibility. Thanks, Naja, for that one. I hope it makes sense. Very hard to, you know, when you're watching the horse and I can say, right here, do this or do that there, but if you get a general idea and you understand, I'm sure you kind of understand it and just try and apply it and yeah, see how you go with it. And I'm sure in another question and answer we can sort of address it a little bit more. And if you said, oh, I've tried this, but you know this happens, then we might have more detail on specifics. Thank you.
Thanks everyone for listening. Please like this podcast and help others to find it. You can listen to more of Mark's great answers on any of your podcast providers. Just search for Mark Langley's Horsemanship Podcast. And if you want to join Mark's online horsemanship so you can ask a question, just pop onto Mark's website.
Thanks, everybody.